Welcome to the Birds of Alberta podcast. I'm Chris Fisher, co-author of the best-selling field guide, Birds of Alberta. On this episode, we'll be discussing one of the most visible, common, yet often confusing bird that lives amongst us, the northern flicker. Since the Birds of Alberta was first published in 1998, I have had the great pleasure of being asked to take part in a whole bunch of traditional media events, and really one of my favorite has always been Alberta at Noon, which is a province-wide call-in show across the CBC Radio 1 network, hosted for years and years and years by Don McKelligott and then a whole bunch of other hosts, and now Judy Aldous is reigning in the microphone. And for well over 20 years, I've been invited time and time again to sit beside the host and take calls from Albertans on all sorts of bird-related questions. And it's been very enjoyable hearing from Albertans their specific questions and stories about their specific interactions with birds in the province. But one thing that seems to come up time and time again, and almost every time I've done this, and we're probably going on, oh boy, you know, probably close to 50 times now, is the caller will call in and the host will say, well, this is Bill, and he's calling from Ardrossan. And Bill would go, Chris, you know, I really like the book, but there's a problem. There's a bird in my backyard that simply does not appear in your book. It's wrong. Then I say, well, that's bit of a surprise to me. Well, describe the bird. Where are you seeing it? And what does it look like? And the caller will go on how the bird is typically on the ground. It's got a little bit of a black front on it. In the back of my mind, I'm going, okay, this is going to be a northern flicker. But I let it play out a little bit longer. They'll say there's a lot of spotting on the front. I'll let them go on a little bit. And then oftentimes I will interject and say, oh, no, it sounds to me like it's a northern flicker, Bill. Bill will come back. No. I've looked through the woodpeckers. This is definitely not a woodpecker. It's on the ground poking at my lawn. And I said, well, you know, oftentimes northern flickers will do that. They're certainly a woodpecker and make their living up on trees. But at certain times of the year, they'll go into our lawns and poke up the ant hills that we have there. And they really like ants and other sorts of critters that that live in ants. So we do see them in the ground. And invariably, Bill will go, no, I'm very familiar with northern flickers. Not a woodpecker, not a northern flicker at all. I'm sure it's a new species to the province. And can I send you a photo of it? Invariably, of course, the photo's sent, looked at, and it is, of course, a northern flicker. Because northern flickers are a species of woodpeckers, and they don't really have the black and white of virtually every other woodpecker in the province, they simply are not regarded as belonging to that group of birds. But they are one of the most common woodpeckers we do have in the province of Alberta, even though they may not act all the time like a woodpecker. They are indeed a unique bird in the sense that they cause the most identification, or should I say misidentification headaches for people starting out with birding in the province of Alberta. One of the problems for northern flickers, for the many people who misidentify them, may very well be that they do provide us with excellent looks. Many of us live in places that have northern flickers within our neighborhoods, at least for part of the year, and they're generally pretty bold, so we often get very good looks at them. The long woodpecker-like beak, or as some people have said to me, a sandpiper-like beak. They, of course, have that beautiful white rump and colorful wing and tail linings that catch the eye. A bunch of polka dots, a mustache on the males. So they're really distinctive, and there's a lot of things to cue in on and can lead to a little bit of confusion. I remember some of the very first times that I saw flickers going back to the early 1980s, they weren't called Northern Flickers back then. They were split into two groups, the yellow shafted flicker and the red shafted flicker, shafts referring to the feathers of the wings, the wing linings. And indeed, in Alberta, we have both the red shafted flicker and the yellow shafted flicker. Red shafted flicker forming a little bit of a L-shaped distribution in the province, going down the mountains and then across the southern part of the province along the large prairie rivers, and then in the northern areas of the Aspen Parkland, central Alberta, into the boreal forest to the north, you have the yellow shafted flicker with the yellow wing linings. Going back to my childhood, I remember my grade 5 teacher, while we were on a summer camp, pointing out a red shafted flicker flying over Elkwater Lake in the Cypress Hills, which they still are very much found to this day. And the Cypress Hills is a great place to see the red shafted flicker. You'd have to go up to central and northern Alberta to find the yellow shafted flicker. And interestingly enough, where I now live in Calgary, we have a hybrid zone of the two. And bird hybrids is a topic that I'm sure we're going to return to again and again on this podcast, because Alberta really is in an exceptional area of North America where you have subpopulations colliding and essentially hybridization and maybe even dehybridization, because wildlife populations are so dynamic and ever-changing. We really live on the frontier of these areas. It's kind of like a zipper, zipping up or down, combining populations or separating populations. And here in Calgary, we do have evidence of hybridization between the yellow shafted flickers and the red shafted flickers, which now are known as a northern flicker. But the hybrid birds, like the red shafted flicker, typically have red or maybe even orange, fiery orange wing linings. Are pretty distinctive and represent well over half of the birds that we see in the area. The hybridization is probably most conspicuous in the male birds. On both types of flicker, the males have a mustache. Yellow-shafted flickers will have a black mustache, and the red-shafted flicker will have a red mustache. Well, on the Calgary flickers, these hybrids, which I nicknamed them, they will have indeed a red mustache, but the back of their head will also have a little bit of a red patch. And that is a really good showcase of these hybrid birds that really are very common here in the Calgary area, also found in southern BC where the hybrid zone kind of extends to. But it really is a distinctive and very Calgarian trait of our bird life here in town. Northern flickers are very conspicuous birds throughout the year. They're probably most conspicuous in winter. They do tend to overwinter in the southern part of the province. The kind of the red-shafted flickers, or these Calgary flickers, tend to overwinter a little bit more than the yellow-shafted flickers that are found a little bit more north. Those ones tend to migrate. But in the southern part of the province, we tend to have flickers year-round, and they very commonly come into backyard bird feeders. They'll certainly feed quite vigorously on ornamental fruit trees like crab apples and even some of the choke cherries and berry trees that we have. Mountain ash trees, mountain ash berries, are not the sole diet of Bohemian waxwings. I've seen northern flickers take their fair share of freeze-dried mountain ash berries over the year. So as a result of this, we do get to see them quite closely and learn and appreciate them quite well. But they also have another relationship with neighborhoods, whether it's in the areas that they overwinter or not. And that is irrespective of the age of the neighborhood, whether it's an old, mature neighborhood with all sorts of big trees, or some of these newfangled neighborhoods with all sorts of multi-million dollar homes. Northern flickers have relationships with both of those. Round about Valentine's Day, Well, the northern flickers start thinking about courtship, and how they express this is a very noisy and raucous affair. In more natural landscapes, and even certainly in our major river valleys, the males will find a drumming platform, a loose piece of bark or a loose branch, where the male will perch upon it and staccato rattle its bill against that piece of wood to make as much noise as possible. Now, of course, in cities, we tend to manicure our trees a little bit much, so there isn't any natural resonance, but there sure are great examples of home residential resonance that they take great advantage of, and the most famous one of that is, of course, metal chimney caps. So right around Valentine's Day, leading through the early parts of March, it's not uncommon in some of the more mature neighborhoods to hear the distinctive rattle alarm calls of northern flickers rattling away on metal tin chimney caps and waking up not only the resident of the chimney, but the entire neighborhood. Now, the reason why northern flickers are so vigorous in their rattling is it's all about love. You know, while some birds are like John and Paul and court by singing, northern flickers are like Ringo and drum out their love. It's all about courtship. And in older neighborhoods, on older homes, there's, of course, the chimney caps. Newer homes have high-efficiency furnaces, and they actually don't have chimney caps. They vent out the side, so they don't have the chimneys to drill on. Nevertheless, they often find some other drumming materials, and that comes in the form of stucco. Oftentimes, there's false-fronted stucco fronts, and they resonate very well indeed. So northern flickers will rattle on that, and oftentimes break through the stucco on newer homes and cause tremendous amounts of damage. In fact, it is a regular call I get from local media every April, and it comes from media sources where there's people complaining about these darn birds breaking through the stucco and building nests, or simply just resonating their love rattling on these stucco fronts. Now, if you want to deter the northern flickers causing damage on your stucco, you can put some netting over top of it, or some blankets or tarps, those sort of things, temporarily over the resonant material during the springtime months. Don't bother with those fake owls. The northern flickers see right through those sort of things, and they're not scared in the least about owl fakery in and around a good drumming area. Because they're one of the most common excavators that we have in the deciduous woods of Alberta. This includes the Aspen Parkland and certainly along our major prairie rivers. They do a lot of home construction, not only for themselves, but a lot of secondary nesters as well. And you wouldn't believe how many other species will reoccupy the nest cavities that are first created by northern flickers. They only use them for a single season. It is part of the pair bonding process to dig out a nest, a fresh nest every year from the core of a poplar or cottonwood tree. And these nests are used by all sorts of other birds, things as small as a chickadee, but as large as a small duck. Sometimes you even see squirrels inhabiting those. So they are used by numerous other condo-needing species. And that is one of the great roles that northern flicker has to the ecosystems of the province of Alberta. They're just such a wonderful and distinct bird that it's wonderful to have them so commonly found throughout the province of Alberta, including right in the backyards, whether we're living in small towns or large cities, they are among us. And in spite of that, in spite of being one of the most distinctive birds, they remain one of the most frustrating birds for myself, because so many people do come up time and time and time and time again asking what the identity of this strange, large billed, colorful white rump bird is that they do see on their lawn. It is a dirt pecker, It is a condo builder. It is one of the great birds of Alberta, the Northern Flicker.